the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Right you are. Welcome back to the program. Here we go. We are back once again with more Bucket Strategy Investing. We're giving you the money information that you need to help you get through retirement. That's what we that's our goal anyway. Once again, our professor, Rick Plum, is here with me. I'm Johnny Dean. We're standing by, ready to take your phone calls, ready to take your emails, which means you got to take part in the show. Now, coming up this hour, we're going to talk about how you might consider calculating your retirement income needs. This is not an easy thing to do, generally. You might say that the older you get, the closer you might be able to approximate how much you're going to need. But trying to determine what your income needs are or what they're going to be at retirement can be one of the biggest challenges in retirement planning. You kind of need a baseline of income, but then you need to sort of branch out from there. But where do you start and where do you end up? So we're going to talk about that with Professor Plum coming up here in just a couple of moments. Our number in studio, 877-PLANNER. The show's just getting started. So right now, we got all the lines open for you, I do believe. You should take advantage of the opportunity, by the way, to call the show, 877-752-6637. You can also send us your emails at wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link there, which you're going to see near the top of the page if you go there to wealthed.com. Professor Rick Plum, he's our lead brain trust advisor. Back again this hour. We do thank the people at Lucia Capital Group for bringing us this hour of the program and Professor Plum. They want to remind you that your retirement needs, yours, are vastly different from anyone else's, as if we needed to say that. I think you know that. Since no two situations are alike, it is important that you have a retirement plan that can focus specifically on your goals as an individual. And with Lucia Capital Group, of course, you've got access to an entire network of brain trust advisors. They're ready to help you out. You can call them directly off the air at 800-644-1150. You can schedule an appointment to see where you and your retirement plan stand, or if you just want to ask a money question. Again, off the air, 800-644-1150. On the air, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. It's really hard, Professor Plum, to know what your retirement income needs are, even, you know, just 5-10 years out from retirement.
Well, I think a lot of people, this is one of the things. You know, when people talk about, well, they didn't plan for retirement, they got to retirement, and now what? They actually never looked at it. They just knew that they didn't want to keep working. And so they've never looked at how much money they have saved. They may look at their 401k and say, wow, I've got, you know, several hundred thousand dollars there. But a lot of times it's very difficult to equate a cash value, a present value, a portfolio size with an income stream. And the other side of it is, well, how much income will I actually need? I'm still somewhat surprised from time to time when I talk to people about retirement. They're in their 60s and they're getting ready to retire, and I ask, you know, one of the first most basic questions, so how much is your Social Security going to be? I don't know. They've never even looked at, yeah, they got their statements, but they never really paid attention to it. They don't even know what their Social Security is.
Are these people close to retirement age you're talking about?
In their 60s, yes.
Wow.
And like I said, it does somewhat surprise me.
Sure.
Not that many things surprise me anymore. But that one does, because that's kind of, like we've talked about many times before, the foundation of what we're going to need in retirement. And so if they haven't even looked at their Social Security and they look at their portfolio as just kind of out there, they really don't know anything about it. It's just sitting out there. They've been putting money into it, and someday they'll take money out of it. But they've never thought about how much money they need to take out of it. And partly because they've never thought about how much money they're going to need. And they don't know where the money's going to come from. So I think the fact that a lot of people don't know a lot about their retirement is because they just don't pay attention to it. You know, one of the things that they say is very important to do when you're about 5, 6, 7, 8 years from retirement is start looking at a plan. Now, the plan has several different issues. One of them is how much is already in the portfolio, how much are you adding to the portfolio. But the biggest issue is, what are you going to need? And that's the most difficult one, really. Because we can show what a portfolio could potentially provide. And even if it's a variable amount, you know, where you need more money in the early years and less money later on after Social Security kicks in, after maybe your pensions kick in, and it just becomes kind of a word problem in that area, where I need $8,000 a month. I've got my wife turned her Social Security on, but I haven't turned mine on yet, so we need to cover that shortfall. And then at 65, my pension kicks in. At 66, my Social Security is going to kick in. I need less and less and less. Or the mortgage will be paid off in 10 years, so I don't need as much money at that point. That's just a matter of laying out the foundation. But the other side of it is, most people just have not actually envisioned themselves in retirement. what they've envisioned is not going to work. What does retirement look like to you? Not going to work.
Turning off the alarm completely, and don't worry about that anymore. And all that stuff I used to take care of is somebody else's problem.
I don't care what retirement looks like, as long as it doesn't look like gridiron traffic on the way to and from work or my four.
Gridiron traffic. That's football traffic. I like that.
Well, sometimes you got to play it like that. You need a blocker going through. You know, gridlock.
I just plow through. Yes. Yeah.
Take what you can get. You see somebody that knows what they're doing.
Barry Sanders your way through traffic. That's the way to go.
This sounds really bad. Have you ever, seen a police officer with the lights on weaving through traffic?
Sure, yeah, trying to get you to stop, yeah.
Well, no. I mean, as they go by you, ever pull in behind them and have them,
they love it when you do that.
What are they going to do, stop and give you a ticket after the lights are already on?
You're drafting? Yeah,
yeah.
That's what they love, that kind of thing. All right, so anyway. Yes, they're tired of doing
that. They're tired. They just don't want to go to work. But they never really thought about, okay, I want to go fishing, or I want to do this or the other thing. What's it going to take? Where are you going to do that? What are you going to spend? How much is it going to cost? What expenses are going to continue in retirement that you currently have? What expenses are going to go away? Maybe you're not going to be commuting, so that gas expense goes away. Maybe you don't need two cars, three cars, whatever the case may be. So you don't need that extra expense. Your clothes, maybe you don't have to buy the same types of clothes. But then what expenses are going to show up that weren't there before? The camping ground memberships, the travel expense as far as the gas in the motorhome, if that's what you're going to do, the cost of the airline tickets if you're going to travel that way and all that. So what is it that's going to not be there from an expense standpoint? What is it that's going to be there from an expense standpoint that's not there today? And just try to, but the first thing is envisioning what retirement really should look like to you. It's different for everybody. As John said at the opening of the show, everybody's ideas about retirement are slightly different, sometimes vastly different. But what is it that makes you want to retire, other than hating work?
Well, what sort of answers are there to that question? Because you would ask me that question, and I would say, well, other than not working, I don't know what I envision. Are you talking about maybe traveling? Are you talking about taking care of somebody? Are you talking about volunteering? What answer are you looking for here?
Yes, exactly. All of those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're retired now, John.
Wow.
You're retired.
I'll see you later.
I just, magic wand,
Okay,
gave you,
good.
Gave
yes.
you the retirement date. And what are you going to do? You're going to wake up tomorrow. What do you want to do? Besides go for a run,
usual stuff.
What are you going to do?
That's you know what I would say right now? I have no idea.
Exactly.
I have no idea.
So you need to start when you're a little bit too young, because you still have a long way to go before retirement. So your idea of what your retirement is going to be like is going to change.
Yeah.
And I think it'll change a lot more once your kids start having families. And then you'll have a better idea. That's what I've heard.
This is what you've been told.
People don't move to be near their kids. They move to be near their grandkids.
Okay, I've heard this too, and I have no clue if that's true or not.
I don't either yet, because I don't have any grandkids yet.
Right.
So your idea, what I'm saying is your idea of retirement is going to change. But when you're 5-6 years out from retirement,
mm-hmm.
you better start thinking about what retirement really is going to look like.
Are you talking about not even from a financial standpoint, just what you're going to be doing all day?
Forget the financial standpoint. First off, figure out what you want to do, and then layer in the financial standpoint on top of that. Okay, I want to, my wife and I have talked about this. We want to travel, both internationally and nationally, but we want to travel in the U.S. motorhome style.
Yeah, okay, and I can get behind that.
And so we want to do some very good motorhome trips,
mm-hmm.
And we're both on agreement on that. That's a good thing.
If you're married, you better agree on this. That's right. Yeah.
And she got she was able to travel internationally a couple of years ago, and she really wants to do more of that too. And so those are things that we need to be able to look at. Okay, that's what we want to do. Now, how are we going to afford it?
How do you finance it? So that's it. What's it going to cost?
Okay. What's it going to do? So once I've decided what it is that we would like to do, now whether or not we can do it or not is another issue. Which once we've decided what we would like to do, now it's a matter of stepping back and say, okay, what's it going to cost? So I know what that side of it's going to cost. I know what my mortgage is going to be if it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
I know what my gas and electric basically is. I know what my insurance are basically in today's dollars. I can use some inflation on those, and I can calculate the fixed expenses because theirs are there. They're not going to change too much other than healthcare. Who knows what that's going to be?
Yeah.
But I can project those numbers. It's the other numbers that I have a hard time with. And so that's where we try to figure out what are all the expenses that we're going to be dealing with, add them all up, and then say, okay, I need, as I mentioned, let's say $8,000 a month.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. My Social Security is going to be $3,000 a month. My wife's Social Security is going to be, you know, $1,250 a month. Mm-hmm. I have a small pension. She's going to have a small pension. So ching, ching, ching. So now we're up to, you know, $6,000 a month, $5,000 a month from other sources of income. I didn't do the math right. I'm just, you know, playing numbers.
No, I'm just saying, so but these need, are fixed it, sources. Okay.
So I need to have that $3,000, if 8 was my number, I need to have $3,000 available to me from my portfolio, plus maybe some taxes. So now I can start working backwards. I can work math to find out how much money I need to have to be able to support that income stream from the portfolio.
So you figure out how much you've got coming in that, say, on a guaranteed basis.
Yep.
If you're talking Social Security and you're talking pensions and all that stuff. Right. And then from there, you say, what's the shortfall and how do we create that?
Right.
See, it seems easy.
But the hardest part was figuring out what I needed to begin with.
That's the problem right there. Okay, 877-PLANNER. You've got questions. We've got answers right here on the program. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We'll take more of your calls and your emails when we come back. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We're here to take your calls, 877-PLANNER. We've got lines open right now, so give us a call on any money issue that you have. It can be on Social Security. It can be on retirement income challenges. Doesn't matter. We're here to talk to you about them. And speaking of retirement income challenges and strategies, which we're going to be doing here in just a couple of seconds once again, you can join the Brain Trust at any one of the 2016 Retirement Income Strategies Workshops brought to you by Lucia Capital Group. I want to remind you of that. We got more coming up here over the next week, week and a half, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it happens to be. You can join the Brain Trust at any of those workshops. All you got to do is go online to wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com, find where we're going to be, decide if it's close enough, and believe me, it is close enough. Even if you got to drive, I'd say 500 miles, all right? We'll pick a limit, 500 miles. You come visit the Brain Trust. Professor Plum will make sure it is worth your while, won't you?
Huh? I will do my best.
Sure, yes. Of course.
Hey, I'm driving 300 miles.
Well, there you go. You see? So at least anybody can do is drive a maximum of 500 miles.
Over that,
and join
fly.
Join the Brain Trust. Yeah, fly. That's fine. You know, there's some great destinations in some of these. You know, we got a lot of good destinations coming up. So I'll tell you what. Check wealthed.com. Find out where we're going to be. Sign up. It's all free. And you won't be disappointed. I'll tell you that. I can't guarantee it. They won't let me. But I'll tell you this. From personal experience, you won't be disappointed. WealthEd.com. Okay, we do have lines open. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Now, before the break, we talked a little bit about you get your baseline income set. You might throw out a figure. It was a lot of money. But we'll say you need
$8,000. Not for Southern California.
Well, no, but I mean, let's just say this. We're only using this for illustrative purposes.
Right.
You said $8,000. You need $8,000 a month. You've got Social Security totaling, you know, maybe $4,000 a month, something like that. Mm-hmm. So you know that's going to be coming in. You've got.
We had a couple small pensions totaling like $1,000 a month.
Bring you up to about $5,000 a month. Now you've got a $3,000 a month shortfall. What I'm going to have you do, we're going to take a couple of calls, but you got in this particular example, a $3,000 a month shortfall. The question then becomes, first of all, how do you make up that $3,000? Because it's going to have to come out of your savings, most likely somewhere.
Savings being 401ks, IRAs, all those
right, out of your portfolio. But that's number one. Number two, you're going to have to figure out, well, if I don't have enough so that I can safely take $3,000 a month over the next however many years, call it 30 plus years, how do I get to the point where I can do that? Mm-hmm. Because age becomes a factor then. If you're only 40, 45, you're probably okay. But if you're 60-ish and you're not near there, you're going to have to employ some strategy.
You've got only three options. Save more, earn more, or work longer.
That's right. Or some combination of all three. All right, 877-PLANNER. I want to get to some phone calls. 877-752-6637. We still have a couple of lines open right now. So get on board. Let's see. All right, so Bill had called earlier. So let's go Bill next in Long Island, New York with a question or two. Hi, Bill.
Hi, I have a 529 question.
All right.
I have three kids. One kid will be, my oldest will be going to college in the fall of 2018. So I have $15,000 approximately in the 529, New York State's 529 plan, evenly split about $5,000 per child. I was thinking, can I transfer over the $5,000 out of my oldest son's account into my other two kids' accounts to show zero on his account for the FAFSA and student aid purposes.
Well, normally the child is not the owner of the account. The child is the beneficiary of the account, unless it was his money to begin with. And either you or maybe a grandparent is the actual custodian of the account. And so if you're
the one that
started it, you're the custodian, it's going to be treated as your asset. And I think they're going to look at it regardless. I can't remember whether they look at all of your 529s or just the 529 for that one child. So you can transfer it all you want. Yes, you can transfer it to the other kids. And in fact, it does actually, I think, make a little bit more sense, especially for the younger ones. You know, depending upon where they go to college, $15,000 may cover 1 year, it may cover a couple of years. But the benefit of the 529 isn't the fact that the money's in the 529. The benefit of the 529 is the hopeful potential growth that occurs on the 529 plan, which can then be distributed tax-free. For somebody going to school in 2 years or so, there's not a whole lot of potential for growth from this point forward. If you've got a child that's 10 years old, there's 8 years of potential growth that could happen. So I might move it just because I think it'll work better for the younger, either one or two children. And unfortunately, that means that you're going to have to pay some extra money out of pocket. Hopefully, it'll get you some more financial aid. But I'd switch it for a couple of reasons. One is the potential use of the money. You can get more potential tax-free money by having it available longer or needing it later down the line.
Yes, I understand that. I've probably had them for about 10 years. My only concern was
The financial aid. I'd have to go back
as least the possible assets for my first child.
Yeah, so I'd have to go back and look at how they count the 529 plans. I know that if the 529 plan is obviously for that child, they're going to look at it as an asset of yours, and they're going to, you know, once they come up with, you know, the expected family contribution, this would be part of it. And if it's a 529 for another child, I'm not sure how they're going to treat that. I haven't done the FAFSA for a long enough time that I'd have to do some research. The other thing you can do is, if you could figure out how to, you know, transfer the custodianship of the 529s to your mom, dad, mother-in-law, father-in-law, and then it won't be counted at all.
No matter what the right. What the rules would say.
Well, I mean, the income when the money does come out is part of the income for the child, so it does have. So typically, you only use it for the junior and senior year.
It
definitely gets you more financial aid for the first year or two.
Right. Could I ask you a quick Social Security question?
Sure.
I'm 55, and my wife is 4 years younger than me. So if I was to take my Social Security right at the beginning, at earliest age, at 62, is she eligible to get a spousal benefit at that point when she's 58?
No. Spousal benefits are only available at the earliest age 62.
Okay.
Not your age 62, her age 62.
I got you.
The first requirement is you have to be taking a benefit. The second requirement is she's got to be at least 62. The third requirement is if she has her own benefit, she'll have to apply for that one first. And only if the spousal benefit is larger than hers, both of which would be reduced at 62, would she be able to get any portion of a spousal benefit.
Okay, great. You answered it. Thanks very much.
Okay, Bill, thank you for the call. It was talking about 529 plans. In a week or so, maybe a little longer, we're going to be covering some more of these college
savings.
Yeah, college savings plans. Very important for a lot of people, especially, you know, as the kids start to get close and it's time
and
to start using that money.
Desperately looking for where you're going to come up with the cash to pay for this college expense.
Yes.
I know.
The problem was you didn't encourage, you know, sports. You didn't do.
Oh, I did encourage sports. They got scholarships on sports.
Not enough though. You have to get full ride.
And then they gave them up.
You got to get full ride. This is where the proper planning techniques come in, Professor Plum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I encouraged them to read at an early age. I encouraged them to educate themselves, which meant they wanted to go to really good colleges. That was a mistake.
That was a big mistake.
I should have given them a PlayStation.
There you go. Then they could be just sitting in the basement.
Lumps
still
on a log.
You would have had all of that money sitting there. They never would have met anybody, so they wouldn't be any weddings.
That wouldn't have been costing me for the weddings either.
You see, there you go. He's doing it all backwards, and you call yourself a planner. 877-PLANNER is our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Hey, we've got some lines open, so call now. Any money question you have, Brain Trust is here to answer it for you. Professor Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. We're coming right back. Is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Getting back to your calls here in just a second. 877-PLANNER, our number. Have a couple of lines open still. 877-752-6637. We answer questions of all kinds, all types, whatever it is on your, whatever your money question is, we will answer it for you here on the program. And a lot of our questions have to do with a guaranteed income, like we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. And one form of guaranteed income is Social Security. We get a lot of questions on Social Security. The main one that we've been getting lately is, how do these new laws, these new rules affect me? Because I think people have been scared by a lot of the hype that's out there and saying, you got to do this, you got to do that, you're going to be losing $60,000. Well, anyway, I'm going to try to clear some of that up. We have a guide. It's like a 5-6 page guide. The big changes coming to Social Security, put together by Professor Rick Plum, his own self, whatever, more or less, looked over and reviewed by Professor Rick Plum, certified, stamped. You can get it if you go to our website, wealthed.com. You'll see at the upper right corner, there's a Facebook link. It's really on our Facebook page. But if you aren't, if you haven't subscribed to or liked our Facebook page yet, you can go to that link, Facebook link. Click on that. It'll take you right to our Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, go to just search Wealth Ed, W-E-A-L-T-H, Wealth Ed, and you'll see it there. And we would love to have you download it, take a look at it, tell us what you think. And it should answer some of the questions for you, we hope. Okay, 877-PLANNER, our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Let's go back to the lines. Had somebody who I think had a comment on what we were talking about a second ago. Let's go to Searchlight, Nevada. We'll talk with Rich up next. Hello, Rich.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. I just left Las Vegas a little while ago, and I'm headed back to Arizona. And I've been listening to the radio, and I just want to make a comment, basically.
Yeah.
Between all the commercials on TV, and I have a lot of friends that are my age or even older, and they're afraid to retire because they're scared. And somebody just said, I know you just picked a number, but you said, well, say you need $8,000 a month. Well, God knows nobody needs $8,000 a month.
Well,
I live strictly on Social Security, okay? Believe me.
Yep.
I have a home in Illinois, and I have a home in Arizona, and I go back and forth. The motorhome, I would forget that idea. They're way too expensive. But if you have a home in each one, then you can travel with your car. You can go up to the Black Hills or go wherever you want to go. You know,
oh, yeah.
Go down to Memphis and visit Graceland and go to Nashville. I always stop in Branson, Missouri for a couple of days on the way out here. I'm a snowbird. I live in the log cabin in Illinois in the summertime, visit my kids, my grandkids, and then I come out to Arizona for the winter, which is just about an hour south of Vegas, so I'm up in Vegas quite a bit. And I live on Social Security, and it's not a big thing. I can tell you in four words, live within your means. That's it.
Right, and so if you have the means to live on $8,000 a month, that you then have fun living on $8,000. I've met people whose income needs are significantly, or income desires, are quite a bit higher than $8,000 a month. And I've met some people that are extremely happy on $3,000 a month, $2,500.
Or even less, whatever it is.
So it's not about the number, it's about the person and what they want out of life. Some people like the motorhome. I happen to like the motorhome idea. I like being able to go wherever I want, when I want. And I understand that motorhomes are not the most efficient uses of money in the world either. They tend to depreciate in value. They cost money to maintain. And all these other money-grabbing things that happen with you. But it's a matter of what it is that somebody wants. What we were talking about is trying to identify what you want to have in retirement. Envision yourself in retirement and figure out how much that retirement needs, how much you need to have to do it. And hey, if Social Security does it for you, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. If it doesn't, then you have to look at something else and say, okay, where's the money going to come from? You can always at some point in the future say, well, I didn't get to where I wanted to go, so I can live on less. I will live
yes,
on less.
Yes, in fact, that's one of the ways that, Rich, that was one of the scenarios that we're going to present here. with regard to how much you have. Because if you had, in our example, we had $8,000 a month, you picked a number.
I did.
And I said, that's a lot of money. But there are some people who need that. But you know, you've only got guaranteed, say, $5,000 coming in from other sources, Social Security being one of them, and perhaps some pensions. Hey, you know, you say, I need an extra $3,000. Well, you know, if working extra, if working longer is not an option, if earning more is not an option,
because you can't handle the risk.
Because exactly, and you can't go. You know, your income is what it is.
Then you're going to have to live on less.
Exactly. So I think that's what we were saying, Rich.
Okay, but there's a huge difference between needing and wanting. Okay?
I know.
A lot of people want a brand new car every 2 years. You know, but you don't need a new car every 2 years.
Right.
You know, a lot of people want a 4-bedroom house with 3 bathrooms, but you don't need that. If it's just you and your wife, your kids are grown, they're out of college, you know, you don't need 4 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms. You know, it's
right.
Just,
and so there is a difference between needs and wants. And the first thing you look at is, what do I have to have? What, and then what do I want to have? And if you can find a way to save up enough money to create enough net worth to get what you want,
mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that. But if you get to the point where you're going to retire, you either lose your job, you lose your health, you cannot continue to work, so that's no longer an option, which means you're not going to continue to save anymore, then you may not be able to fund all of your wants, but you want to make sure that you at least have all your needs covered.
Yeah, hey, Rich, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And again, you know what? Needs and wants, those are always subjective. They change. What somebody has is a need, other person, somebody else might have is a want.
Right.
You know, and
unfortunately, we see a lot of people, you know, that are retiring with mortgages. And it wasn't because they, you know, upgraded their house at the last minute, you know, in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. It was because of circumstances in their life where they had to do something to, most likely, most of the ones I've seen are helping their kids do something where they were, and it cost them and they didn't get a chance to save, or they were,
mm-hmm.
and so they're carrying a mortgage, you know, whether it's because they upgraded their house to the big McMansion or whether it's because of other life events that happened that they're carrying a mortgage. So they have a mortgage. So should they have to move? If they can afford to make the payment, if they can afford to do all that, should everybody automatically sell everything and move down and only live on $2,000 or $3,000 a month in retirement?
Okay.
I don't think that should happen. I think you should do as much as you want that you can afford to without hurting somebody else.
Well, that's it. And so we come back to our example. You said let's you know, you got maybe $4,000 a month of Social Security roughly coming in, maybe another $1,000 of pensions. And other than that, that's all the actual guaranteed income that you have coming in.
Right. And so with $5,000 a month in that example,
right.
you're never going to be poverty,
no,
but not get you to where you want to be.
Right. So you've got five. You've decided based on what you want to do, not what you need to do, what you want to do, that $8,000 a month would cover those expenses. So you say, okay, now that we know we're $3,000 a month short, where do you go? Do you turn to how much do you have in savings and how much can we safely take out of that?
Right. Now we look at the portfolio and how do we create a portfolio large enough to be able to distribute, you know, the $3,000 a month. Now, whether it was $8,000 to start with and you had $4,000 or $5,000 of other income, or it was $5,000 to start with
and you had
$2,000 of Social Security, you still need $3,000 from the portfolio in our example. How do you go about creating a portfolio? When you're younger, you can just look at that when you're 10, 15 years out from retirement, you can say, using a 4% to a distribution puts percentage, which is, you know, something you can use to approximate, I would need to have close to $1 million in a portfolio.
That's, just to get the $3,000 a month that you're talking about.
Well, $3,000 a month is $36,000 a year.
Right.
$36,000 a year on a 4%, that's $900,000 on a 4% distribution.
Right.
So, okay, so it was $900,000, not $1 million. I'm putting a little extra in for unknowns.
No, but I mean, so
that's a big number.
You need $900,000 to get an extra $3,000 a month out of it safely, you're talking about, because it has to last you at least 30 years in
now,
most
you
cases.
Can cut that back if you look at, okay, I don't mind this portfolio going to zero when I'm 90 years old. And so you can work some other math. That math is harder to do. You need a calculator for that.
But
I was just doing it in my head on the basic.
Is, you have somebody who says, well, I need $900,000 portfolio in order to safely take $3,000 a month. Well, you say, what have I got? I've only got, you know, $200,000-$300,000.
How old are you?
So, well, now it comes down to the age, the function of age.
Uh-huh.
Somebody is, say, you know, getting close to retirement. They're 57, 58. They'd like to hang it up at age 65. You know, to try to make up that much money in the period of 7 years is going to be very difficult.
So we have $250,000. Yeah, you need to save like $65,000 a year. So that's
for the next 7 or 8 years.
For the next 7 years. That means that may not be a reasonable goal. So
right.
we have to then say, okay, what am I going to change in my life to be able to do what I want to do? I don't need, I don't want, I got to bring it down. Instead of needing 3,000, maybe I only need 2,000. Where can I cut? What can I do?
Now,
or where am I going to inherit money?
Here's right. Okay, well, now here's the other thing you say. You look at, say, a mortgage. You say, all right, well, how much are you spending on a mortgage? You might say, call it $1,500 a month. How close are you to paying that off? Well, I got $100,000 left on it, so, you know, I got another several years, but a couple of years before I got to pay it off.
Yeah.
Once that's paid off, you say, okay, well, now we've gained, you know, an extra $1,500 a month.
And it's going to go away. And I was speaking with somebody yesterday that needed X amount of dollars from their portfolio, but they were paying like $2,500 a month in mortgage payments. Now, the mortgage would be gone in 10 years. But they had enough money sitting in cash to pay off the mortgage. So pay off the mortgage and reduce your distribution from your portfolio by that $2,500 a month.
And there's your raise, in essence.
Yeah.
So for some people, all it takes is if they have a $2,500 a month mortgage and they need an extra $2,500, take what they have and pay off the mortgage.
Yep.
It can work that way.
Cash flow.
There are other, yeah, exactly. There are other things to think about too. Okay, 877-PLANNER, you've got questions, we've got answers. Professor Rick Plum here from Lucia Capital Group. The Brain Trust returns on Bucket Strategy Investing. Having some fun here on Bucket Strategy Investing. Hope you are too. Thanks for joining us, everyone. There's another hour just ahead in most cities, counties, and jurisdictions across this fine land. So if that's the case where you happen to be watching or listening to us, we hope you can stick around for the entire hour next hour. A lot of things to talk about, some emails to get to, and, of course, more of your phone calls at 877-PLANNER. We got, two, three lines open. 877-752-6637. Moving along, we'll get to Maria up next in Renton, Washington. Hi, Maria. I think.
Did we lose Miss Maria?
I don't know. Maria, are you with us? No? Okay. All
She's
right. Well,
gone.
Give us a call back, Maria. She had a pension question. We had a couple of pension questions, in fact, on emails. We'll get to those in just a couple of seconds. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Before we load up the next call, I just want to come back to what we were saying with regard to wants and needs. You know, you come up with a solution. There are solutions to everything.
They just may not be solutions you want to hear.
Right. They may not be exactly what to your liking. But let's come back to this scenario where you need an extra, $3,000 a month in mm-hmm. your situation. You got five. You need three to make eight. Your home is costing you, call it $2,500 a month. You've got, what did I say? Let's say you've got $250,000-$300,000 saved up. It's not the $900,000 that you're going to need in order to safely take $30,000 a year out of, or $36,000 a year out of. So you could take, is it advisable, is it wise to take your entire portfolio, this $300,000, you know, that you've got, say, pay off that mortgage. You now own the home free and clear. You've just given yourself a raise of $2,500, which is pretty close to where you need to be.
It may. It's still not going to get you there, but it may give you. And
well,
it
you
all,
may be
it,
able to cut down your life. You may be able to live on $7,500 instead of $8,000 or whatever.
Well, if you pay off a $2,500 mortgage, you're going from $8,000 down to $5,500.
Right.
Now you only need $1,500 from the portfolio. But where are you going to get that $1,500? You're still short.
Well, okay, so you're still short.
From what
it's
you want.
Easier to cut down that much.
I mean, it is a cash flow decision, and it depends on what you can earn and where the money's coming from. And in many cases, if we were talking to somebody that had that scenario where the mortgage was $2,500, then the discussion does become, okay, if you really want to have these other expenses, you're going to need to cut back. And one of the places to cut back is potentially where you live. And it may be that you sell the bigger house, assuming there's equity in the house and you can find another place to live without the mortgage with what the equity in the house is. But those are all discussions. But before you even get to that discussion, you've got to decide what it is you want, need, whatever the case may be, and have it and figure out, am I going to be short? Because if I'm not going to be short, if I've already got $600,000-$800,000 in my 401k IRA personal savings, and I'm going to work another 7 years, and by the projections that I'm looking at with modest rates of return going forward, continuing to fund my 401k at the level I'm funding it and things like that, then I'm going to have $1,000,005, purely making numbers up. Why settle? Why sell? Why move down? if I can make it work.
Oh, yeah.
So the first thing you have to do is figure out where you are in relation to where you want to be, and then make your adjustments. Either save more, work longer, cut back, reduce your living expenses, and go from there. But part of the mortgage is a matter of, should you have the mortgage in the first place? And for some people, it's a fact of life. They're going to have that mortgage, and they don't have the money to pay it off. For others, the question becomes, okay, I've got the money to pay it off, not from my IRA, which is going to be taxable, but I've got the money to pay it off. Do I pay it off, or should I invest this money? And a lot of that has to do with time horizons, risk temperament, personal issues, and things of that nature, and what you're going to do with the house ultimately anyway. So there's a lot going on with this, but the first step for determining retirement income needs is, what do you want? Can you get to where you want? Or do we need to make changes? And the changes are across the board. Earn more, maybe not an option. Save more, maybe not an option, maybe it is. Work longer, maybe not an option. If those aren't options, then now we've got to go to the other side. You got to cut back.
Yeah.
What is it that you're going to cut back on? Okay, instead of having the McMadden motorhome rolling down the road, maybe you go back to a tent camping in the car. Okay, that's a big difference, by the way.
That may not be acceptable to some people. They may just have to say, I'm going to have to cut out the traveling at all until we figure out some other source of income.
And I know people that have cut out the house and only had the motorhome. That became their primary residence, and they just used that for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it all comes down to, once again, making the decision yourself. You start with, as what we were saying for this entire hour, you start with what you have coming in. Well, actually, no, you start with where you want to be when you retire. You decide what it is you want to do. Then you decide, okay, how much do I have coming in that's, call it a guaranteed, on a guaranteed basis?
Social Security and pensions.
Social Security and pensions are generally the two. Some people might have some annuities, I don't know. But whatever is coming in, you then look at the shortfall. You say, here's what I need to be, here's where I need to be, here's where I am right now. How do we get from here to there?
Can I get from here to there? The first question is, do I have the resources? I mean, I know a lot of people that say, hey, when I retire, I want, and it's a huge number, and then you have to bring them back down to reality that's not going to happen. I was speaking with somebody this morning that's about 6-7 years out from retirement, and they want about what we talked about before, and unless they win the lottery, that is not going to happen, unless they can earn some astronomical rate of return, which is most likely not going to happen. So they've got some hard choices. What are they going to do? Do they want to try to work longer? Or are they going to start cutting things out of what they wanted to achieve in retirement? It's actually better to know about this at, 55, and they were planning on retiring at 63, and know about it now and start working towards it, either from a financial cutback side or a saving side. Or it's better to know about it now than to get to 63 and say, okay, I want to retire. I've got what you thought was a really nice portfolio, but it's going to get you not anywhere close to what you need. And unfortunately, this particular person needed like $60,000, $70,000 a year from their portfolio to support their retirement income needs. And they weren't anywhere near that amount of money right now. And nor were they projected to be, unless something changed. And no, they weren't looking to get any inheritances.
we've heard we're out of time for this hour, but we've heard 80%, you can live on 80%, and there's a reason for that. Some people can, some people can't. It's all a matter of adjusting yourself, adjusting your bills perhaps, and adjusting how much you're able to save. And if not, then you may have to cut back. We're out of time for this hour. If you're on hold, hang on, because I'm going to start taking your calls here. When we return, it'd just be a couple of minutes. 877-PLANNER, our number. If you need the Brain Trust off the air, at Lucia Capital Group, talk to Professor Plumber, any of the Brain Trust advisors, at their off-air number, 800-644-1150. There is another hour just ahead of Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are all
also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.